Cool. Right, Coach Carbon, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. It's nice to talk to you.
And you too, likewise. I've seen your stuff on socials, had a little listen to your episode on Fountain.
Yeah? Do you like it?
Yeah. Looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah. I think you were one of the first people I followed, I think, on my account. Well, definitely towards the start. So I think I followed you for a while. And yeah, I do like your content as well.
I enjoy making it, even if it's just yourself that's watching and following.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself, everyone?
So I am Coach Carbon. That name has been adopted in the space. Been in the space. I fell down a rabbit hole just over 4 years ago. So I'm class of 2020. Same class as Michael Saylor. So those who we know the world of Bitcoin, me and Saylor were in the same year. Those who don't, I suggest going doing your research, finding out about Michael Saylor. And that's a good starting point, actually. So when I was doing my education back in October 2020, Saylor was one of the first people I listened to. Him, Robert Breedlove, Daniel Prince, amongst others. Mm-hmm. So they could be your starting points.
With Dan, I just listened to that. Your one with, what is it? You, Dan, Daniel Prince, and someone else.
Was it the guy from Oxford City Football Club?
Yes. That's the one. Yeah, good episode. Yeah, and you do Bitcoin Ballers as well, don't you?
That's right, yeah. So I launched the Bitcoin Ballers Academy in April 2021, block height 680005.
Those
who are interested in block heights, go and find out exactly what time that was on the 21st. a little Easter egg in there for you.
Nice. Yeah, and you do quite a lot with education, yeah?
Yes. That's been my biggest thing about Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Me learning about it, how do I then educate other people, more specifically the younger generation? I'm a father, two young children. I'll say young, my eldest is 19, but he's still a child to me.
Older than me.
How do we equip the next generation to understand first what Bitcoin is, what it means for society, and how they can, say, utilize it? How can they make it work for them, and how can they gain value from it and also provide value back into the space?
Mm, yeah, so I'd like to get into education today, because I think that's really valuable, and you definitely quite experienced. So what would you say is like your approach to education, mate? Like with your football club, do you talk to the kids that you coach about Bitcoin as well, or do you drop it in?
Through 4 years, it's you have to find people where they're at, right, and find the what's going to attract them. I'm guessing you probably did the same as many others have done. When they first learn about Bitcoin, they want to tell the world about it. They want to send them all the information. And my first point of attack was sending lots of videos and links via WhatsApp to friends and family. 10-hour YouTube videos, the Breedlove series with Michael Saylor, or Saylor series, they were never going to ever watch that.
No.
Which led me to then do other things. So hence, I started the Bitcoin Ballers Academy. I do the meetups. I talk about Bitcoin on my podcast. It's like, do as much as you can with the tools and experiences that you have. And then at some point, people will say, listen, watch, ask questions. But you have to do something that you're passionate about as well. So my background is network marketing. So I like networking. I like doing meetups. My background is also football. I played football when I was younger. I've coached. My son still plays football now, so him and amongst his friends are really into football. So I use that as a way to drop little seeds in Orange Pill and say, come and play for me, come and do this tournament, come and do these challenges, and they're going to have Bitcoin terminologies, there'll be Bitcoin rewards, and I may send you a Bitcoin link. that relates to what we're doing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So, yeah, would you do you, for your kids, do you try and educate them, or how would you go about that?
So when we get together, it is literally just seeds. So they put on the orange kit. The kit has Satoshi on the back, the name on the shirt. It has Coin Corner logo on. When we're playing the games, if it's a training exercise, we talk about peer-to-peer, passing the ball to you and your friend. We have a game called 21 Seconds to Glow, so you see how many tricks you can do in 21 seconds. And another game is getting off zero. So you're shooting the five balls at a target and you're trying to get a high score, and you have as much time as you want. So over time, the more experience you get, the better you get. You can shoot from further away. It takes less time and you possibly get a high score. So we're talking about your time preference and you're doing your research, your training. So all of the games and aspects have terminology that are related to Bitcoin. They may not ask any questions, but at some point when they hear those terms, they may say, oh, I know how that Bitcoin terminology relates to football, so I understand what that means. And then with the prizes, Bitcoin prizes, we've given away Bitcoin bottles, we've given away Sats ledgers, we've given away open dimes, we've given away nerd miners. So the rewards are Bitcoin rewards. And again, if they don't quite understand, even ones that games we've played where they've given Sats away, or you've won 21,000 Sats, how do I receive them? Well, you need a Lightning wallet. Or what is a Lightning wallet? Okay, that's where the education starts. So it's just immersing them into an environment where they understand what football is and throw in Bitcoin terminology prizes, which hopefully it does entice them to ask questions and do a bit of education and learning.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like the 21,000 Sats. That sounds like a nice reward. I wouldn't mind one of those.
Especially now. So that, Sats I was giving away 3 years ago.
Oh my god!
If they still hold them,
yeah, they haven't done bad at all. What's that? What were 21,000 Sats 3 years ago? What is it now? I don't know.
At the time, the bad math. I think at the time when I gave them away, it's like £30 or something. I can't remember.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
And how much was a Bitcoin then?
We have to get the Sats calculator. So, what are we looking at? 2021, we were probably going through a bit of a bull then. Maybe 30,000 USD at the time, maybe 40.
That's over 3x then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're probably at like 100. It's not bad for them. Yeah, so yeah. What's like the biggest hurdle that you come to in people's education? What's the thing that you find people the most...
I speak about this constantly. It's financial privilege. Alex Gladstein speaks about it. So when I was in Madeira hosting a tournament there, obviously for the Bitcoin Atlantis, the educators got together through My Puma Bitcoin, and we were doing there was a talk. Everyone was involved, and it was like people from emerging economies or the global south. They could easily onboard people in their local area, young people, because they understand that their money's being debased. They understand the value of their money. Here, I can easily get people together and say, let's play football. But the moment I say, all right, let's go on a Zoom call, or let's look into this article, we're going to get together on a Zoom call, and it's hard. And they don't really care, I say, for Bitcoin. Young or old, it might look nice. They might say, I'll get some, but... it's when you want to do the education and learning, that's the hardest bit for me. But everyone gets Bitcoin at the price they deserve, right?
Yeah. No, and that's definitely, in the UK especially, that's really hard to get it across. I imagine in the US as well, when you don't have that, the debasement is so much more like that boiling frog rather than the plain just theft.
Yeah.
Than it is in so many other countries. I mean, it's still theft, but it's just slower.
Yeah.
So it's a lot harder to see. And I agree. I think that's, it's definitely very tricky. Yeah. But yeah, how do you try and get them past that? What's your response when they?
It's still a work in progress. Sometimes I'll do a bit of FOMO. Sometimes I'll actively just pursue and say, come on guys, sort yourselves out. We need to get on and do this. But now, I think, as I say, done my cycle, done my 4 years, going into 2025, it will be a case of, you know what I do, I'm here. If you want more information, come and find out. But as Satoshi said, if you don't believe it or don't get it, I don't have time to convince you. Now, I do have some time that I will spend, but going forward in 2025, I'm not going to spend too much time trying to convince people. Mm-hmm. I would just be... continue doing my proof of work, going to events, speaking with people like yourself, putting content out, and hopefully people start to learn and listen a bit more.
Yeah, and you've got Oxbit coming up as well, yeah?
That's right, yeah. So there used to be a quarterly meetup, but thanks to support through Orange Pill App, so Mateo and gang, We are now hosting monthly, 21st of every month. So whatever day the 21st falls on, we'll be hosting a meetup. Mm-hmm. And we are doing a second event at a pub called the Old Black Horse Inn, which is the first pub in Oxford to accept Bitcoin Lightning payments.
We had
Oxford City Football Club a couple of years ago that would accept payments at the bar and at the turnstiles. And now this is the first pub that accepts Bitcoin.
Oh, that's awesome. Any more? You say first. Has there been any more or since? Or
So the last meetup was on the 21st of November. That's when they first started accepting. At the moment, no other pubs I'm aware of, but we will be looking out for some. We do have someone on our radar. There is an establishment in Tame for the Tame meetup.
The
6th, the first Friday of every month. It's like a cafe stroke restaurant. I think their manager will soon be accepting Bitcoin. He knows about it. He understands it. It's just getting him over the line to accept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at the Oxbit, do you have like speakers or is it just a couple of pints and everyone gets chatting?
So it's just a social get together. Everyone's invited. Bitcoiners, pre-coiners, as I call them. I don't invite shitcoiners. People come who have altcoins or we want to discuss altcoins. I don't mind that. It's an open environment, but I am Bitcoin only. If you come, we can talk about Bitcoin and I can explain why I think it should be Bitcoin only. You can say why you have altcoins, and I'm guessing other people who are Bitcoiners will soon put you right, which has been done at other meetups that I've been at. But yeah, it's just when I launched it was just, like I said, an environment to discuss Bitcoin. Let's find out what it is. Let's ask questions. Yeah, let's just be open to anything that you want to discuss. So whether you have done your 100 hours or whether you've just seen it on the news, come to a meetup, let's have a drink, let's have a chat and see
if you can answer some questions. Sounds fun. I've got a lot I need to get to. I mean, I've...
Without doxing yourself, where how close are you to us?
To Oxford. Do you know where Tring is?
Yeah, is that Aylesbury? Is that past?
Aylesbury. So I'm not in Tring, but I'm just outside. Okay. I'm not sure how far a drive it is, but it's not.
Probably about 40 minutes an hour, I think.
Too far, it's not bad. I went to Cheat Code, but that was about it. Haven't got to any others.
Did you go to the game?
No, I didn't get to I went with my dad, and he had to go to a wedding on the day of the game, and I didn't get to go, which was really annoying.
I went to the game, but I couldn't make the meetup. But it's funny, when I went to the Tame meetup last week, a couple of weeks ago, there were so many of us there that went to the game and some went to the meetup and the game, but we hadn't seen each other. We'd met each other for the first time. There was quite a few people there, but it was interesting to see that we were there, but we didn't know of each other.
Was it packed at the game? I imagine
it was. Lots of people there. And unfortunately, they drew. I think it was 0-0. And they don't think they had a 0-0 all season. And I think if they won that game, they would have won the league. So it would have been nice for them to do it there, but I think it was the next game they did.
Oh, that's funny, yeah. Well, we've got like a... Where I'm from, we've got like a big... Like, if you say I live here, we've got like a circle of like meetups all around where then we just got a big gap where I live. And
you know what to do, right?
Yeah, I know. I was talking to Chris and James. We'll get that sorted.
Build it and they will come.
Yeah. My theory is that... Rail Bedford just beats all the teams in that area. They beat Tring, they beat Chesham, they got Aylesbury, and they got Burko coming up. I'm like, maybe everyone just, they will hate.
Same with my local area. So yeah. Rail Bedford play teams from local to Oxford. And at the start of the season, I had a meetup and I invited them all the chairman or chair people to come to the meetup and say, listen, when Rail Bedford come, be ready to accept Bitcoin. Knowing probably that Rail Bedford were going to come and beat your team. None of them accepted the invite or nobody turned up. And then since then, Rail Bedford have spanked them.
Yeah.
So they get it at the price they deserve, right?
Absolutely. That's funny. Yeah. You have some stuff for the My Premier Bitcoin on your website as well. Are you involved with all of that?
Yeah, so they're... Diploma is online, free, open source. You can host it, you can use it, but I am a verified node, part of their network. So I am, I say qualified, verified to teach their diploma. So just recently, actually, I have the hard copies of the diploma book, thanks to... Nice. That's terrible, I've forgotten the guy's name. It will come to me shortly. If it's because everyone's got the pseudonyms, no one has their actual full name. But another node in the network from London, he provided me some hard copies, which I can give out to our young people. But yeah, basically, if you haven't looked into it, My Primo Bitcoin or My First Bitcoin in English, they have a diploma which you can complete, which just gives you a qualification. And there are a lot of Bitcoiners that talk about the education, formal education that we have now. This is a open source, and it gives you an understanding of Bitcoin, and we won't say a qualification that is, what's the word I'm looking for? It will come to me in a second. But basically, you're going to study Bitcoin, you're going to understand it more, but a lot of people won't have access. Everyone could have access to it, but a lot of people won't use it. So as nodes, we are encouraging people just to dive into what My Primo Bitcoin is, learn a little bit about Bitcoin and get this qualification.
Yeah, I skimmed it, the thing that what they have online. It does look really good.
And all the young people in El Salvador go through this as part of their
experience. I know. I watched that Mark, what's his name? Mark something, his video that you've linked on your website, and that was really cool. And the taxi driver that became the educator, and he's so enthusiastic every time he's on camera. Yeah. I loved it.
I actually met him in Madeira, through My First Bitcoin. We met the whole team there. Wow. Huxley is the guy who provided the books to me. But thank you, Huxley.
Poor guy. What's that process like, becoming a, what would you, authorize? No, that's not the word you used.
A verified node?
That's it, yeah, the verified node.
Yeah, so you show your proof of work, you explain why, you explain what you're doing and why you'd like to be a node. And then consensus, the nodes in the network say yes or no. And I've been part of the network where we've looked at other people that want to be a node and want to educate, but they have shitcoin in their bio, or they're not Bitcoin only. It's like, well, we don't think you should be a node in our network because we are first Bitcoin only. So maybe if you change your stance, you could be part of the network. But there are lots of things we look at to decide whether or not someone comes a node. But generally, if someone's applying to be a node in network, they've done their proof of work, they have their community, and they're just looking for that extra backing from the community to say, yes, I'm verified, I know what I'm talking about, and I can educate you.
Yeah. So do we have many places in the UK where that course is taught, or is it quite limited at the moment?
There are a few. So there's myself, True Bitcoin Ballers is verified. Huxley is verified through his school. Bitcoin Policy UK are on there.
Yeah.
So Freddie New and Susie are part of Bitcoin Policies, and they're a node in the network too.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, that's really cool. We need to get more.
Yeah, definitely.
As many as possible. How do you do it? Do you just, is there like a place where you go and teach? Do you go to schools?
That's the hood I'm at the moment. So we have the diplomas. Originally, when I first became a node, I attempted to do it online, and it was going to be ready for when we were going to go to the tournament in America. I'm not sure if you know too much about that. I was vying for a place in the TST tournament, and the build-up to that was going to be players were enrolled and were going to have their diploma, and we were going to go to America. That didn't quite pan out, didn't quite get the funding, so we put it on hold. And then we then launched looking for to do the hard copy books to give out to the players, which are being handed out. It's just now, okay, when do we sit down and do it? So that's the hurdle at the moment, getting everyone together and sitting down and doing a diploma. I'm hoping this rally we have or we're having, and the adoption that we're seeing now, Strategic Bitcoin Reserve for nation states, Sailor leading the way with our company just making it into the QQQ on the NASDAQ, that people are going to start coming to me and asking questions, saying like, okay, how can I be part of this? I will be riding that wave and doing a lot more content saying, are you ready to learn? Here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But as I say, at some point, I fully expect people to be knocking on my door rather than me trying to seek people out.
So what are your ideas then? Do you want, if you get like a group of people and then you think maybe in person?
Yeah, so what I'd love to do is the events. So have a group to come together for a training session. And then we say an hour and a half, 2 hour session. An hour would be physical. And then the ever hour will be like educational.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. What would you do in the physical, like
the actual football training sessions? So,
yeah.
So I'm a qualified football coach. The training sessions that I know with a Bitcoin take on it, with a purpose. So each session would have a theme or let's say a progression from one point to the other. With you're advancing your technical skills.
Nice.
And again, always having that Bitcoin take, and basically. We're talking about time preference, right? Young people who play football that want to do it as a profession, it's not going to happen in a week, a month, maybe not a year. It's going to take maybe a cycle, 4 years, maybe 8 years to make it as a professional footballer.
Yeah.
But if you don't make it, you will still have the skills that you've learned that makes you a better player, that you could possibly play semi-professional level. If you don't quite make it in football, the skills that you've still learned will make you a better person. And then the skills that you learn, you can take into your financial education or your financial learning. So whether when you want to spend money, what you're spending it on, what you're saving in, which is the best performing asset, those sort of things. So 100%. Yeah, Bitcoin education linked with football, I think will help make young people better.
Yeah. Have you ever considered going into schools like in El Salvador, in the UK, trying that approach?
In the UK, I have some of my family's background. A lot of my family work in education, and I know how the education system works. There's a lot of hurdles to jump through, a lot of boxes to tick. Mm. Rather than do that and work with their agenda, I'd rather do something separate. As you say, now Salvador is already set up, and I have put it in the universe a few times on Twitter and told Bukele that I'm coming to El Salvador. Nice. I've left it a bit late. I was meant to go in 2021, didn't work out. And again, 22, we're now at 24 and I haven't made it. So
damn.
2025, it has to be the year.
Yeah, you know, we've got one school that in the UK that does it though.
Does what? Sorry.
That does that course. I'm not sure if I've
ever. Oh yeah, it does the course, but I mean, as part of the mainstream education. So the course that they do, I think Huxley does it. It's like part of a after school club.
Yes. Yeah.
But they still have the backing from the head teacher, which is amazing. But it's not part of the national curriculum. So I thought you were going down the actual.
No.
National curriculum. Yeah.
That would be awesome if we can get it in that. So wait, is that in the curriculum for El Salvador? Oh, it has to be if it's legal tender.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But you're not hopeful that we'll get
I don't think so.
Level in the UK.
One, knowing how the financial system works and how corrupt that is in the West and the UK, having been a prisoner, as I call it, to one of the banks, and then knowing how the education system works, I'm not going to hold my breath that they soon be educating about Bitcoin positively.
Yeah, and I guess as the UK, we are kind of like a financial hub on top of the fact that it's just all the West.
Yeah, it's incentive structures, right? It wouldn't do for them to educate young people, one, on finance. We're not educated on finance properly, but then to educate them on Bitcoin, that would just be suicide for them. And they're not going to do that in a hurry. Not until they fill their bags.
Yeah.
And they've got a head start.
Mm-hmm. But I can't remember all the stats specifically, but when I was at school doing economics, there's like a really large bit on the financial sector, and there was like some massive numbers of like the employment in the UK that's in the financial system, and you kind of solve the need for all of those people the second you have Bitcoin. It's like that would be like shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. It is disappointing that we're not going to be able to see that, but everyone can go to El Salvador. Force them. Force their hand.
Yeah.
Or brain drain or something. Whatever that's called.
But it's happened in the past, and we obviously we can see the future now and where it's potentially going. So we're equipping ourselves. We're trying to equip other people. Still only part of the 1% that really probably understand what Bitcoin is. So there's still lots of room for growth. And as you say, if we're part of that 1%, maybe we can be part of the say brain drain that leaves the West and heads to places like El Salvador and other countries that are adopting it.
I do hope so. I really hope so, yeah. Well, yeah, we've powered through. You've answered all the questions really quick.
You want to talk about yourself? I'm interested in a little bit more about you. So when did you go down the rabbit hole?
I'd say when I went down the rabbit hole, probably like, what are we in now? We're in December, so properly like 7 months ago, I reckon. Yeah, so I heard about it from, what am I now, maybe about 4 years ago. But that was not the, I wouldn't count that as falling down the rabbit hole for about 2 years. And then those next 2 years, I would maybe listen to the odd podcast, two a week, kind of learning about it a little bit. But obviously still at school, so quite busy. And then the second I left, I was like, just read books.
That's incredible.
But yeah, I'm not in my usual setting. I'm like, girlfriend's place at the moment, but usually behind me is my my stack of books, but it's not with me at the moment. Just got one book, got Resistance Money at the moment. It's what I'm reading. So I'm going to read that on the train home.
Yeah, I spoke to a young guy called Yanis who I met in Madeira. I think he might be a similar age to you, and he's deep in the rabbit hole. And what I'd love to see is young people that want to understand Bitcoin and then are investigating more. So you've started your podcast, you've got your channel on Instagram. There's something I do need to get you to do though regarding Fountain, but I'll talk to you off air.
Okay.
It's going to work for you, but I see you're on there, but there's something else you need to do just to make sure that you're earning your rewards. But there's obviously, there's only so much I can do. So I appreciate, I think I'm a cool young dad, but my son and daughter might look at me and think, you're old, I'm not interested. But someone like yourself, people like Yanis, you have Daniel Prince's children who are young, who are doing stuff in the Bitcoin space. What we need, like your blurb says on your Instagram, young people are going to be the next educators, the next creators, the next leaders. Let's educate them now and use young people that understand it to educate them, because you're probably going to have a better reach.
That is my goal. I mean, when I was learning about it, I never saw anyone my age that was talking about it. So I felt like the only one my age, which obviously isn't true. There isn't many, but we need there to be someone that's like, would other people just to be there to show that it's not just like, there are some young people that are actually interested as well. It's not just
for you then. What would be your incentive structure to start with? So some people come in, or majority of people come if a number go up, and then we stay for the revolution, right? Yeah. When I'm speaking with my ballers, they're probably not interested in separating money from state because they don't fully know what the issue is. But if I say we're going to play in a tournament in Leicester and the prize is £5,000, which is one we did last year, and we're doing it again this year, and if we win I'm going to pay you in Bitcoin, they might be interested. And then, hopefully from then, they're going to ask more questions, obviously, when they have to set up their wallets and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you think, or how do you plan to go about it? Obviously, you've got your channel. Is there an angle that you're going to take, or are you just going to go down?
What do you mean? As in, like, an angle for education, or, like...
An angle to orange pill, or to get people...
Yeah, so, like you say, obviously, it's very difficult for talking to people in the UK. So... what I'd probably start with is the debasement. I feel like that's the most clear thing, because a lot of young people are getting into, so many people my age are trying to learn how to trade and how to do stocks. And I think a lot of that does stem from the fact that, from like a unconscious knowledge that fiat is bad savings technology. So I think that's one way. And then also there has been some stuff like debanking in the UK. I mean, we had Nigel Farage. That's some example. I'm not sure of any more in the UK, to be honest. But to me, that was like a really big one, even though it's not too prevalent in the UK, people being unbanked or debanked. But I do, like, when I talk to my friends, I try mention that, see if it like hits the same spot that it did for me. But yeah.
If you want to direct anyone, direct them to a conversation I had with Princey when I was unbanked.
You were unbanked?
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
What happened?
It's ironic because it happened because of Bitcoin. But if I hadn't had the Bitcoin knowledge, I would have been at the end of my tether. I did get to the end of my tether at one point, but
oh my God,
it wasn't as bad because I had the knowledge of what money is and how banks work. But basically, yeah, I was unbanked for no reason. They gave me no reason. I knew why it was, but they gave me no reason. It wasn't a legitimate reason, but I was just told, we've got your money, wait for the investigation. And it was a 12-week process from start to finish.
Oh my God.
I couldn't use their financial rails. So being a Bitcoiner, I knew financial rails I could use. And it was the frontline staff, people in the bank, couldn't fault them. We want to help you, Mr. Carbon. Here's the phone numbers. I was there going to the bank every week, sitting in a bank manager's desk on the phone, taking pictures, saying, this is where I am, sharing it on socials. But it was the computer says no. Do you know the meme from Little Britain?
Yeah.
Where the computer says no. It was literally that. The system had said no. And I've since spoken to people that are in the banking, that were in the banking system, who are now Bitcoiners, and say, listen, once that was flagged, there was nothing anybody could do. And it came to a head when, I wouldn't say I made a threat, I mentioned a scenario that could happen. One of two scenarios could happen. And at that point, when I was at the end of my tether, a phone call was made and someone got back to me and said, your funds are released. And that's when I knew you lot are just thieving corrupt bees.
can you say what the reason was, or is that
private? What reason? Why I was unbanked?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just trying to make a Bitcoin transaction. But it had been fine up until a certain point. And as I said, someone who I'd spoken to in the banking system said probably on that day they just said, any transactions, large amounts to this account or to this exchange, we're going to stop. He said he'd done it before when something had happened in the news, say any money was going to, say, Syria. He might get a phone call today and said, any transaction to Syria, just stop. Regardless of who it is, and then they can argue to get their money back. And so, yeah, that happened to me. It was just, I was at a moment unbanked, and it was a case of, we'll let you know when you can have your money. And that's what I was already on the road to being a, say, Bitcoin maxi.
Yeah.
But at that point, it was like, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I know you have no care for me and my family.
Yeah.
They didn't know if I could feed my family for the next, which I thought was told it was going to be a 10-day investigation, which turned out to be
10 days. Though, I mean, what do you do? Like, no one has that much cash lying around to.
They don't care.
10 days. I know.
I say they don't care. People on the front line cared to a point, to an extent, but the system didn't care.
Well, yeah, but like obviously, like when you're speaking face to face, they'll care. But it's the people that you can't speak face to face to, because that's how it's designed.
I was just a number to them. They were just numbers on the screen, and I wasn't. If anyone has that issue, all I would say is make noise. I wasn't making enough noise. I thought I was making enough noise, but it wasn't until I said, mentioned one of two scenarios that could happen, which it echoed up layers, and then somebody made the call and said, give this man his money back.
Yeah.
And so it's an experience that I say I'm glad I went through. I'm glad it was me and not a family member, because I kind of understood where it was going to go or what was happening. And I had the time. That's another thing, sorry. At that time, I had time freedom. Still have relatively time freedom now, although I'm a fitness instructor. But at that period of time, I had a lot of time freedom. So I could go and sit in the bank for 4 hours. I could stay on the phone for 2 hours. I appreciate a lot of people couldn't do that. So if that does happen to anyone, I would just say make lots of noise. Social media. Everywhere you can, just let people know that you are being... that something unjust has happened to you. And there is a way out of it.
Yeah, but it's like when they have the power to do that, it becomes guilty until proven innocent.
Mm,
And it's just such a poor dynamic. Awful. Yeah. But yeah, I think what clicks most with people in the UK would probably be or developed countries is probably the going from the angle of debasement, because inflation in general is high.
Yeah, they say picture speaks a thousand words. I've got that behind me. Clothing speaks a thousand words, which I'm the Coach Carbon clothing brand. But when you're sharing charts and the debasement charts, the pound against Bitcoin, the volatility of Bitcoin up and to the right, or the pound which is stable but down
to the right.
Bottom, right? Down to the right. Yeah, I know where I'd rather have my my savings.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely, it's hard, but we'll get there. My friends in particular are not particularly receptive. I've got one that is, to be fair.
And family members as well? What do they think about your journey?
Family members, mum and sister, not bothered. Dad, into it, yeah. Not fully, but into it. Yeah. I think he gets like the tech side and is pretty much there on everything else.
There's so many angles that, let's say, find people where they're at. So you have the monetary policy, you have the tech side, you have the community, you have the art, you have the creative side. There's so many people doing so many things with Bitcoin, around Bitcoin, on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
The content, the podcast, the YouTube. Like, there's something that can attract someone that you can say,
always,
look at that, listen to this, try that.
Yeah, that's why I found really interesting when I spoke to Nat. With his like new music, I've never heard of any of like that music stuff before, and it was just like, it really is part of like every single industry.
Yeah, I've met Nat a few times. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
So I saw your clips and I went to listen, but it hasn't been released yet, right?
Not yet. It's going to be this week. Yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Maybe today. Yeah, I might get it done today. What day is it? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I can get it. I'll send it today. Yeah. No, it was fun. It was definitely very fun. Yeah. Anything else?
No, it's been great talking to you. As you said, we whizzed through it, but looking forward to your journey. So you say you're 7 months in. A cycle will soon fly by, but just keep plugging away, keep creating the content. And enjoy the journey. Like Bitcoin, like I tell to my people that I coach through the health and wellness and also football, there's going to be ups and downs. But if you keep doing the work daily, keep learning daily, DCAing, in a cycle, two cycles, you're going to be a lot better off.
100%. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time. I've had a really nice chat. And hopefully I'll get down to Oxbit. One month.
If not, I'll catch you at the Tring meetup when it launches.
Yeah, 100%. I'll see you there.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
And you.